Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rich, can you tell me some interesting things about Car and Classic?
Certainly. Did you know that at any given time, Car and Classic has over 35,000 cars and bikes for sale?
I did not know that.
And that every month they have over 4 million visitors to their site?
I didn't know that either.
And that Car and Classic is the new sponsor of Smith & Sniff?
Now that I did know, because I was in the same meetings as you.
Oh yeah. Smith & Sniff is sponsored by Car and Classic.
I know. I was there. I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. I need to talk to you about mulleted strakes.
Yes.
This is, there is a car element to this. Bear with me. Mm-hmm. You remember the band King, don't you?
Yes, I think they were Love and Pride.
Love and Pride.
We were talking about this the other week.
We were, and it is a great track, okay? Quite energetic keyboard in it.
Incredible, because, well, all I remember is that he was on Top of the Pops at some point, and I swear he sort of made a motion like he was wanking off the mic stand. And that just always sort of stayed with me. And then after you'd mentioned it, I had to spend 5 minutes on YouTube trying to find the clip to prove I wasn't imagining it, and I'm not. It's there. I'll put the link in the show notes. But there's an appearance on Top of the Pops where he does a naughty gesture with the mic stand, and I'm amazed they left it in.
So also, brilliantly, mic stand stroker.
Yeah, but you know, on Top of the Pops back in the day when they were miming, because there's another performance he does where he's not even got a microphone.
What?
He's just they've ditched the pretense that he's actually singing. So he's just miming to the song, standing there like he might have done in the video, which gives it a weird quality. And also, because that song starts straight away, I think. It's one of those ones where the vocals in on sort of like right from the off. And there's one of those Top of the Pops performances where he's introduced by, I think, Steve Wright. And the band are already on stage. And because they have to sort of spring into action as soon as the music starts, you can see them in the background just sort of standing there looking a bit awkward.
You're not selling it to me, Richard.
No, it's shit. I mean, it's like all these things where you just go, you wouldn't do that now. You'd not have the band in shot because they look ridiculous. But, you know, back in the day.
Well, talking of looking ridiculous, there's a reason why I brought this up, listeners. This is prime 80s music video, this is. And I think it's filmed on a very hot day in a quarry with a handful of aerosol cans. We've all been there. And a few scrap cars. And in one of the sort of the first 30 seconds of it, there's a couple of scrap cars you can see. I think there's a wheel of either a Citroen 2CV or similar, because it's got three bolts holding the wheel on. And I think he strides through the shot with his multicoloured Doc Martens on. But then he sort of jumps or gyrates on the bonnet of a vandalised Renault. Do you know the bit I mean?
Yes.
And I can't remember what Renault it is, but it's the one which has got a slightly angry face. I always thought they were shit, but actually they might not be shit. It's got a face like, I'm going to say, do you remember the robot from Short Circuit when he got angry and he tilted those visor eyes? It looks a little bit like that. I can't remember what number Renault it is. I will look it up. I should have researched this, but I've been too busy watching the video for the mulleted strakes.
Because the mullet is it a Renault 6? Is it one of those
70s? Definitely 70s. It's just got a slightly angry face. I just remember them being rubbish when I was a kid, but then again, they were 10 years old, and so a 10-year-old Renault back then was probably hanging, and I might be doing it a disservice.
Just a bag of rust with an engine in the middle.
I might have to revisit said Renault. But the other thing about the pop video is, of course, when the rest of the band appear, I don't know, there's a guy on a huge boulder absolutely thumbing the bass. It's quite quite urgent slap bass going on in this, which I'm down with. The mullets are, and you forget there's three quite key elements to a Peak 80s mullet, right? You've got the spiky front and top, okay, which is a given, yeah, sort of hedgehog.
Ooh, spiky front though, is it not, if you're going full 80s mulletta, do you not have a sort of almost like an overhangy fringy bit?
Oh, do you?
I think you might. Okay. You can. I mean, if you want to go full ridiculous, but yeah, spiky top.
So this is spiky essential. Top. So hedgehog top, and then of course at the back end you've got the mane or the sort of just like unravelled carpet covering the neck, which is like a ski ramp, a sort of follicle ski ramp that goes down the back, and then it's the sides that really got me. You remember people used to really. Hair gel at the strakes. They look like Testarossa door pods.
Yeah.
But with hair.
So watching these Top of the Pops performances of King, Paul King? Was he called Paul King? I think he was. The lead singer.
Paul King.
Paul King, yeah. Well, his behaviour on that Top of the Pops episode, Wang King. But anyway, he's King Mullet. He's a fine specimen of a mullet man. And then, but then the guitarist is matching strides. And I think maybe the drummer is too. The keyboard player.
He picked the short straw.
I don't think he's got the goods to do the mullet because he seems to be balding a bit. But he's compensated for that with a tiny, tiny ponytail. I first saw it, I actually laughed out loud.
I haven't noticed the micro pony. I'll have to have a look at it.
Oh, Christ.
I'll have a look at that.
It is a micro pony. I mean, it's a chody pony, basically. It's just this little knob end on the back of his head. Chody pony. But yes, the mullets. So are you comparing the side strakes? Are they like dive planes or the other way around? They're the wrong, aren't they? They're strakes. So they are.
They are strakes.
Like they're Testarossas.
I'm guessing what you do is you get a sizable mound of gel on both hands, rub hands together. I'm doing the actions as I'd say this. And then you push them over your ears and back through to the sort of the cam tail rear. But it's not a cam tail because they're quite long mullets. Those guys have got I don't know.
Well, they're down the back, aren't they?
They're right down the back.
They're not just collar kissers. They're like down the back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could be walking around naked in Australia for days and your neck would be still pale white. There's absolutely no way. There's no way any sun would get through. Proper UV protectors.
But then are you also... the gel you're talking about is...
Inflammable?
Blue. Yeah, it's that blue stuff. Slightly watery, but also kind of... it's not because it's not oily, is it? It's watery.
It is water based.
And every you use a tennis ball sized lump of it on each palm, and then just down the back.
Well, yeah, I mean, like every bathroom in the '80s, you used to go in if you went to a friend's house or a family's house. There'd be a huge pot of it somewhere on a windowsill or on top of the medicine cabinet. It was just that, and you'd go in with a full scoopy hand, and do a 180 scoop. I used to do the spiky thing, but I never went with strakes. Well, I didn't have a mullet. I didn't go with a mullet. I always thought mullets were a bit weird. But I remember one of my cousins had quite a sizable one, and he did look like Nick Kershaw. And he used to do karate. So it couldn't have got more 80s than that.
Oh.
Doing karate, looking like Nick Kershaw.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Was he really good at Manic Miner as well?
Do you know what they did have? They had a BBC microcomputer. They used to play Repton. Do you remember Repton?
No.
Oh, man. Because I didn't have the computer back then. So I was one of those annoying little shit kids who would go to someone's house with a video console and just sit on it. And they'd have to, like, prize me away from it or shout at me because it was so exciting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, because we didn't have a computer for a bit. And then my parents surprised us, my brother and me, with a computer, but they went BBC Micro B because it felt sort of more respectable because it was the BBC, and also you could get like educational games for it.
That's right.
Of course, all kids in the 80s wanted educational games.
Yes, of course they did. Granny's Garden.
So it was it did feel a bit like, oh, couldn't you have got us a Spectrum? But it did have, I don't think I ever had this, or maybe I did have a bad copy and it didn't work. The pinnacle of games for the BBC Model B was Elite.
Yeah, my cousin was obsessed, not that cousin, the other cousin, who is a clever man and does top secret things for a job that he can't talk about. He
just plays on a BBC Model B all day.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's paid. He's a paid influencer to just play Elite.
It's coming back, baby.
Elite was good.
You can find Elite somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Elite was good.
I'm going to look at this. Good. Elite game. Yeah. Actually, that's not going to narrow it down. Oh, there we go. It's come up on Wikipedia. Elite is a space trading video game. I don't remember it being trading. Revolutionary 3D graphics.
That's right. It was.
It was. Wireframe 3D graphics with hidden line removal. Wow.
It was brilliant. It was just brilliant.
Anyone under the age of 40 is going, what the fart are you talking about?
I'm sorry if we sound old, listeners.
Let's bring it bang up to date with something. Oh, I know. Well, there's something that just happened in the past week or so, which is pertinent because we've mentioned it on the show before, is that BMW have just decided to stop selling cars to the police in this country.
Is it, or is it the police have decided to stop buying the BMWs?
Well, a little from column A, a little from column B. I think this is how it's gone down. The police have backed away, or many police forces have backed away from buying BMWs because of this well-known engine problem, which affects the N47 engine, which is the straight six diesel. Mm-hmm. And it's specific to the police because it's when a car has been left idling for a long time, as the police have to do when they need the lights and stuff to keep running while they're attending an incident. And then they get called on another incident and they absolutely gun it, redlining it. And that combination of circumstances, which punters would probably never put a car through, causes
fire.
Bad things to happen, ultimately leading to fire, possibly. Mm. So it's been claimed. So I think some police force anyway have gone, we're good, cheers, we'll go to Volvos. And probably, so the business is declining, which means it's not worth BMW's time to go through all the compliance stuff and making sure their cars can be fitted with all the bits that the police need. But also in these supply restricted times because of chip problems and such, they've probably gone, shall we sell some cars at full price to members of the public, or shall we sell them a massive discount with loads of modifications to the police who are just going to moan when they catch fire? No, we're all right, thanks. And they've bailed out. So, yeah, they've just done a sort of an all stop, sudden stop. That's it. No more.
Look, guys, this is it. We're not selling to you anymore. And they were like, no, let me stop you there because we've just decided that we weren't going to buy any more BMWs. No, we won't supply them to you. No, I don't think you understand. We had a meeting yesterday and we're not going to sell you BMWs.
It's full, isn't it? No, I'm breaking up with you. Well, you can't because I've already broken up with you. No, you didn't. Well, I did. I just said it. Well, I wasn't listening. It's just, there's a bit of that about it because I've got to find this again. I was reading it. There we go. Car Dealer Magazine. The police put out a statement.
Did they?
Yeah.
What that said, basically,
they were proceeding in a
dangerous
westerly direction where they decided to stop buying BMWs. Well, BMW, so it is a bit he said, she said. Well, I want my tapes back.
Yeah, exactly.
BMW said to Car Dealer Magazine, with high demand for our cars continuing to outstrip supply, we'll be prioritising sales to our retail and corporate customers in the future and moving away from some areas of our authorities and specialist business. They're all sold through BMW Park Lane, their sort of flagship showroom in London.
Really?
Bizarrely. So the specialist vehicle sales department there has just been shut down immediately. There's a quote here, which is a bit odd. It says, BMW's international and specialist sales division based at its Park Lane dealership closed this week. A team of around 20 people arrived at work to be told the department was shutting down. BMW Park Lane is consulting impacted staff.
Maybe
you should have consulted them before you told them that you shut the department.
That is a bit weird. That's like, oh, I've changed the locks. Yeah, because I just came home to try and get in.
Oh, because you're out of a job. So it's the N57 engine, beg your pardon.
I was going to correct you, Richard, but you're in a flow. You're in a great flow. Sweet, sweet flow.
Isn't N47 the four-cylinder and N57 the six? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's the bigger one.
The fiery one.
The way to tell them apart is if one of them is on fire, that's the N57.
If you go and view one, if you say, I'm calling about the ex-police BMW for sale, you go, yeah, and you get there and it's just starting to catch fire. You just casually keep walking around it and go, yeah, so quite new tyres on the front. Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. So, and it's in this article, but this is, I've seen this a while ago, that you'll see at those ex-police auctions a whole swathe of 5 Series, and they've all had the engines disabled. I think they punch a hole through the block.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
So that, yeah, so that you can't, you know,
drive them,
fit a new engine. Yes, you can roll it down a hill, but best of luck. I'm going to try and find one now.
This is great. I
should have looked this up before, but the, yeah, they.
This is prime territory for fitting M Spalt competition engines into ex police cars. In fact, well, it could be a one make series engine swapped ex police cars.
I'm anyway, loving so, it. So yeah, the BMW officially said,
"Screw you guys, I'm going home."
Yeah, and I'm taking all my stuff.
Yeah.
National Police Chiefs Council lead on police driving. God, even their job titles sound like they're said by police.
That's too long.
The police talk in a funny way, don't they? Deputy Chief Constable Terry Woods said, a national position has already been adopted regarding the end of life of the affected BMWs. Vehicles that have been assessed as at risk and unsuitable for police use have been removed from service and their engines made unusable prior to disposal.
Oh,
any remaining usable BMWs with the engine type identified are subject to rigorous monitoring.
What?
You do not have to say anything, but anything you do say may be written down and may be used. What's that? I can't remember how the Miranda rights go now, but it's not that, is it?
Anything you anyway. Say. But all I'm thinking, my cogs are whirring in my head now, thinking how cheap are they going to be? Basically, engineless police car that could have something a little bit spalty put in it. That could be really exciting.
But then, I mean, do you... that's faff, isn't it?
I'm not going to, Rich. I'm not going to.
I feel like you've got enough project work on your plate, but...
I have.
Fair play. I mean...
I have got a lot of project work on. But the problem is then I go and browse idly on Car and Classic Auctions.
Ooh!
Seamless. And
oh, I slipped over because your link was so smooth.
Well,
it's
exactly.
Like hair gel on the floor.
Exactly. Yeah, you fell over because you were. Did you have really thin soled 80s slip-ons on with a little cheeky tassel on the back?
Tassel.
And you were on a polished tassel. Floor, marble floor.
Yeah. Like the sole is, they're like slippers basically. The
they
sole
are.
Is very flexible.
And you had your cleaner in at 4 a.m. and she carefully siliconed the whole marble floor so that when you ran out of your bedroom late for work, you went down and instantly broke your face.
Oh my God. Remember when we did the last live show and someone very kindly gave us those packs of socks with work written on them?
Yeah, I got them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so
Work socks.
I was out of normal socks and I went, hang on a minute, I got that pack of work socks that someone gave us at the live show. Popped a pair of those on, perfectly good socks, but they're no good on a wooden floor, particularly one that may have been mopped or polished or whatever.
Did you fall over?
Such as our landing between, there's like the way our house is, there's a, you know, the normal landing. There's a few little steps down to a sort of mini interim landing before the stairs go back the other way down to the ground floor. And it's wood. And we really need to get a rug or something for it. But at the moment, it's just naked, shiny wood. And oh my God, I had a proper understeer moment, like sort of.
Oh no.
It's the skirting board.
Did you clang your bones? Did you do a bone clanger?
I had a little clatter. It wasn't terrible, but it could have, you know. Anyway, sorry. Yes, I've spoilt your smooth link.
Well, you have. I have been snaffling around the auctions, as they would say in some parts of the UK, and I've found something. I've realised this is a car that I've always had not only a fascination for, but it's just, I just think it's so different in every single way. It just went, screw you guys, to every single automotive rule that had been out and went, yeah, we're going to do it like that. Yeah, we're going to do it like that. And I'm talking about a Tatra 603 specifically. There's one on Car and Classic that the auction starts on January the 17th. And I sent you the link. You should have it. And it's bloody gorgeous. It's not the correct colour because I think they only came in black. But what Tatras are is they're a Czechoslovakian car made during the USSR.
Yes.
And I think they because Tatra, was Tatra the first fully aerodynamic car ever? I think it was.
Well, certainly.
The whole Streamliner thing, they were doing it in the 30s. Is it?
Or the Tatra plane was, I think.
That's right.
Their first sort of foray into it. But this thing's. Anyway, this is an spectacular car. Now
it is.
But that colour, like you said, I think they were all black. So this has been resprayed, and the auction listing does say that it's possibly not to the highest standard.
Mustard yellow. Mustard yellow.
But I'm convinced that this is an old BL colour. It looks like lime flower, like your Allegro. Yeah. Your Allegro is lime flower, isn't it?
My Allegro is antique gold, but to be honest, they're both equally offensive. So
maybe it's antique gold then, but either way, it looks...
It does look similar.
We'll put up the link to this car. This is, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, it's the auction starts tomorrow, Tuesday. But it's an extraordinary thing. Now, I've driven one of these briefly, which was black and immaculate.
It
was an extraordinary thing. Column change manual.
That's right.
Which is always a bit of a head scrambler. You've sort of got to recalibrate your brain a little bit.
And rear mounted V8 air cooled.
Yes, which
motor.
Makes an interesting noise.
I bet it does.
A nice noise. And what's also odd is that, again, your brain, for some reason, because it's this massive car and it's got quite a long bonnet, even though you know it's rear engine, somehow that sound coming from behind you, it sort of slightly throws you off. But it's huge. It's got this kind of grandeur to it. And the ride was incredibly soft.
Yeah.
It was really nice and boaty.
Well, I'd sort of describe it as an Eastern Bloc Citroën DS, because it's got that many kind of futuristic, spacey features. You know, you just go, well, what makes it interesting? You go, well, it's got a split rear window. It's got a V8 that hangs right over the back. That's air cooled. It's got independent rear suspension. And it's got a vast amount of interior space because it's bench seat front and rear, isn't it?
Yeah.
With the column shift. But yeah. I mean, so, and this one here says, we are informed this car belonged to Czech politician and diplomat. I'm not going to pronounce his name. It's spelled C-I-S-A-F. And it was acquired by the owner, who this car's for sale in France, in 1991. So just after the collapse of the USSR. This is brilliant. And I don't know why, but I suddenly want to just go over and buy it and drive it home, assuming it does drive. I think it says in the... where is it? I'm just scrolling down because it says...
There's a bit here. I've got a bullet point that says, starts, runs and drives, but remains untested on the road.
That's right, yeah.
The Tatra drives around the vendor's property, but no attempt has been made to drive it on the road, or indeed at any speed. So it's a bit caveat emptor here because
I like that,
you don't
though.
Know... But it's the potential for something. Now, the only thing
that
is...
That just screams Airbnb for two extra days. Give it, bring a couple of parts with you. What's the worst that can happen? That's what that says to me.
You've got a higher confidence in your personal mechanical ability than I have, because that would be like two extra months at the Airbnb with skinned knuckles and swearing and crying.
Oh, do you know,
to get an air-cooled V8 to run properly.
I take my brother. I take Rayman Greg.
Ah.
And Rayman Greg will be all over it, because Rayman Greg likes these, because I remember in the 90s, someone that worked on a classic car mag had one, and I'd never seen one in my life. And I was just blown away by it, because to me, what it does is it combines a lot of aspects of my favourite cars in one car. So it could actually be the perfect classic car for me. So you go, do you like V8s? Oh, yes, I do. I really like V8s. Do you like air-cooled cars like 911s and Beetles? I do, actually. I really like them. Okay, so this is V8 and air-cooled. Oh, cool. Oh, and by the way, you know you like Beetles and 911s because the engine's at the back. This has the engine at the back. Oh, cool. Do you like Luxo barges? Yeah, I do like Luxo barges. Well, good. This has got a quilty ride, loads of legroom. Yeah. Excellent.
You know, hey, John, you know how you like American cars, you know, sort of 50s, 60s, one with a big bench seat in the front? It's got one of those as well. Yeah. It's all there.
And do you like it when you put at 50 miles an hour, you put it onto full lock and it still just casually keeps driving forwards? You go, oh, yeah, I do like that. So it's just like a 1950s car then. Total pillowy understeer. I don't know why I've got such a strong desire for it.
Because it's great, and because why shouldn't you? There's something else I like about them, which I always, it's a minor thing, but it's because they've got quite a long wheelbase, and so the back door doesn't have a wheel arch cutout in it. It doesn't need it.
No,
the back door is just a big rectangle. And I always think cars like that, you just go, ooh, that's sort of unusual, and I bet it makes it very easy to get in and out in an elegant manner if you're being chauffeured, which I guess, you know, Soviet politicians would have been.
I'm glad you brought that up, the elegance, because I have this vision. This car is the perfect 80s music video car.
Oh, yes.
I could imagine, as I was getting the microphone and stuff prepped to talk to you today off of the podcast all day, I thought, what would be the perfect scene for me? It would be an 80s music video of, I don't know if you remember it, a track by The Passions called I'm in Love with a German Film Star.
Yes.
Which I very much like. It doesn't sound 80s. It's quite hard to date, that song.
Mm.
And I'll put a link to it in the show notes because I think it's a cool tune. Imagine a monochrome music video, that song playing, and me with more hair, looking quite suave, sort of, I'm thinking, long black trench coat and a polo neck done right up, you know, really high polo neck. And just to bring it slightly futuristic, because remember the Tatra is slightly futuristic, instead of smoking a cigar, I'd be vaping a cigar. So you know those vapes that look like actual cigars or cigarettes, which would really fox people. And there'd be some slow motion exhaling going on. You know this when you're at the stoplight or something, or I'm glancing over at the passenger in the seat who's actually the camera operator. So I've been fantasizing about this car a worrying amount in a short space of time. I think I'm going to have to stop and have a cold shower. But I love the front because the front reminds me of a tram. Eastern Europe tram.
Oh, yeah.
And trams always look really cool, I think. So it reminds me of, it's got a trammy front end, and at the back, Cosair-cooled and rear-engined, huge gills in the rear wings, which almost looks sort of like the kind of thing you'd see on a 50s Ferrari. They just look great.
Very, I think, very elegantly integrated into the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's just a great looking car.
It is a great looking car. It really is.
But also, I quite like, I'll try and find a picture of the one I drove, which was black and was immaculate, really, really beautifully
shiny. I want that now. I want it.
Lustrous. But if you turn this one back to black.
Yeah. Which I would.
They take on a very sinister quality as well.
Well, they do.
Apparently, people back in the days of these running around behind the Iron Curtain in Czechoslovakia, people would shit themselves if they saw one coming because they were used by the secret police.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's sort of like the Crown Vics of their time, because, you know, it's like if you see a Crown Vic in the US, you pretty much know it's the police.
Yeah.
We would have done when they were current.
Yeah.
So they weren't very good as undercover cars, even though they were used as them.
No.
Because everyone would go, well, there's a Crown Vic parked outside my house. That'll be the police then. And I think it's the same with these. Saw one coming and go, oh, no, it's the undercover police in that kind of car only they have.
I was just about to say that. And also, oh, no, possibly they're corrupt, so
yeah.
I can't win either way.
Yeah. But, in a deep, deep black, just burbling down your street.
Listening,
burbling down a cobbled road.
It would be cobbled.
In downtown road. Prague at low speed.
Cold, early morning, chilling. Very early. Yeah. It's just pre-dawn. The yellow of the tram-like front end, the yellow of the headlights, and then, of course, an enormous cigar stut spec vape coming out of a slightly open quarter light. And then as I open the door and you see one foot step out, you can hear, I'm in love with a German film star.
I think this car's going to go for big money. Well, big-ish money, because I looked this up out of interest, and there's another Tatra 603 on Car and Classic. Not an auction, it's just for sale.
Okay.
It's actually in Slovakia.
Is it?
And it's a 1962, so it's an earlier one. Because the one in the auction is a 74, which is almost the end of production.
Yeah.
But they didn't. I don't think they changed that much.
No.
In their long life. So the one in Slovakia that is tattier than the one in the auction, I mean, it's visibly got some rottiness. There's a bit of frilliness around the arches and stuff, and the paint is all flat and a bit manky.
Yeah.
And it's up for £17,000.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Gosh, I remember when they weren't that much money. Well, my joke is about any bloody classic car, but...
There is also a 1949 Tatra plane, the original sort of aero look one.
Really?
Yeah, for sale, also on Car and Classic. It's in America. And it's, I mean, it looks immaculate, really nice, silver. It's up for £100,000.
Get in the sea. Wow.
I'm already there. I'm splashing myself with so I don't pass out. No, I was really shocked, but that's, I guess, where things are. So,
What? The other thing, you know, we were talking about the fact that it combines lots of my favourite elements of cars in one car. I realised it not only was it a V8, but it was a Hemi.
Oh, really?
I think it had a Hemi head. So it's a small V8, 2.5 litre, tiny V8, really.
Yeah.
But it had a Hemi head. I mean, this is possibly the coolest old car out there, and yet,
yeah,
you know what I mean. And everyone goes on about DSs, and DSs are grand and brilliant. But if you saw one of these in flawless black gliding down the street, because the thing is, a DS doesn't have an interesting engine, but everything else is interesting. This has interesting everything. Just got it all going on.
They're great, aren't they? It's a bit annoying they've become really expensive.
I was just about to say, why didn't I buy one when they were 10K for a Minter? I'm an absolute flute. I'm going to go and slam parts of my body in the garage door.
But as you just said, brackets, insert name of classic car here, because that's true of lots of things, isn't it? I mean, my air-cooled 911 warehouse would be crammed to the gills if I'd known this in 1994. But
tell me about it.
Hey-ho. Hey, now,
what?
Well, that's enough chatting about auctions for cars that we would love but can't buy. We didn't talk, or we were. I was going to talk about the scramble last week that we both went to.
Oh, yeah.
Week last Sunday.
I'm glad you were going to talk about scramble, because I was going to talk about the Bicester Scramble event as well that I went to with you. Well, I saw you over there and all that.
I think we saw each other for all of about, what, 5 minutes?
It was 5 minutes.
At the very end, when we were both trying to leave, because it was... Well, first of all, you came over and said hi. And I wanted to say just thanks for all the nice things that people were saying to me. And I think you had the same experience.
It was lovely.
Sort of coming over and saying thanks for the podcast, thanks for the Late Break Show and all of that. But also, I wanted to apologise to anyone that I shook hands with, because I've got this ongoing thumb injury on my right hand, and I've realised it's given me quite a weak handshake, and it distresses me. But it's not enough that I should sort of mention it. It's a bit... Mentioning a handshake while doing one sort of spoils the moment. A handshake should be something that happens effectively in the background to the conversation. It's almost like it's just automatic. So
I love that you're apologising for a weak handshake.
Sorry for my handshake there, bit shit. But yeah, it's getting better, but I don't know what I've done to my thumb.
Anyway. I like the fact that we were both very busy. And again, thanks to everybody that came up and said, love listening to the podcast, it cheers me up, or you guys are idiots, but I listen anyway, and everything in between. But we did rendezvous for all of 5 minutes outside what appeared to be the brightest coloured interior of an old Lotus ever.
Yes.
And I'm still thinking about that car, because I managed to get a couple of pictures of it. Was it an Elite? It was a Lotus Elite, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. The sort of shooting brakey one.
The shooting brakey one. I have to say, because my brother properly, you know, like frowned and walked away, because he just can't stand cars like that. He just thinks they're, in his words, just old toilet.
I was going to say there were many highlights of the scramble for me, but one of them was actually meeting your brother for the first time.
Yeah, I didn't realise you hadn't met him before.
I feel like I know him, and yet we'd never met before. And he didn't disappoint because, yeah, he was grumbling about how shit that Lotus was. and then he was talking about how people in Somerset can't pronounce car names properly.
Oh, yes.
He did say that we've never mentioned this on the podcast, even though he doesn't listen to the podcast because he can't be bothered.
But, no, fair enough.
And that's one of the reasons why I love you, Greg. But, yeah, he did. He found it quite funny. But yeah, the Lotus. So an Elite black with the old gold JPS style stripes, pinstripes. Mm. But inside, we'll put a picture of this up. But how bright are we going to say the yellow was?
It was violently bright.
I mean, what, sunflower or brighter?
Brighter.
Brighter than like, sunflower.
Like a kid's TV presenter's dungarees from the 80s. It was that yellow. I mean, it was extraordinary. And you think, I was saying to your brother, I was like, do you think that the sunlight, you know, sort of 40 years of sunlight has actually made it brighter rather than faded it? Because I couldn't, otherwise it just defies logic. It didn't look like it had been retrimmed, certainly not recently.
No, it didn't.
It was a bit baggy.
No, but do you know what he said on the way home? He said the reason why that car's got such a bright interior because the stupid old Lotus toilet's been in a garage broken for so many years it's not seen any sunlight. And I was like, oh, you might have a point.
We didn't see it run, did we? Because it was weird. We were just chatting and it was all winding up at the end of the scramble because it only, for people who don't know, the scrambles is just this big kind of general car meet at the Bicester Heritage place in the Midlands. And it's fantastic because you just go around a corner. It's on an old airbase, so it's lots of old wartime brick buildings, which gives it this fabulous atmosphere. But it also means it's a bit higgledy-piggledy, so you can't see the whole site at once.
No.
So there's a lot of going round corners and going, oh, bloody hell, because you just walked into some car you didn't expect to see there, and that might be like an SL63 from the 90s, but then equally it might be a hot rod or a Lotus Elite. I think it was like an 83 or something. It was a Y-Reg, wasn't it? So it was quite a late one.
I thought that was really... Because that would have looked old in 83, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
I mean, that's about the time that we had King with mullets and Ferrari straight hair, is it not?
Yeah. And I couldn't imagine him getting into that. It would have been very 70s, wouldn't it?
It would have dated.
He'd have got into an all-white Golf Cabrio.
Oh, gosh, he absolutely would. Wouldn't he?
That Elite also, because as we were chatting, it was, I don't know who, was someone selling it or something, but that lady came out with that magic device that just lifts up cars and moves them around.
Oh, it's like amazing. What's it called again? My brother went,
He was quite the connoisseur of them, your brother, because he went, oh, I've not seen that model before, and I don't know what they are, but people, I presume, have seen them. It sort of has two trays that go underneath the driving wheels.
Yeah, like a pallet truck. A more sympathetic pallet truck that's got an electric motor on it, and you put it under the car, and you just taxi the car around. It's very cool, and they dragged it away, didn't they? They casually dragged it away, but
it was almost like a sort of very slow shit magic trick because she just came out of those big doors that it was parked in front of, hooked the thing underneath it, and then she just pulled it back inside a building and it disappeared.
Yeah. And then it was incinerated and nobody saw it again.
Smashed it with hammers.
We missed it, actually. It was the annual Bicester Heritage Lotus cremation ceremony where they take a historic Lotus that not a great deal of people care about, but some do. I don't know if it's me getting a little older, but I am down with the marina door-handled, edgy Lotus. I just got a thing of getting a bit of a thing for them.
I like looking at them and I sort of think to myself, do I really want one or do I just think I do because what the heck? Yeah. I'm just looking on Car and Classic and there's to see if that very car was for sale. It's not, as far as I can see, but there is one here, Elite 503 74, so it's an early one, restoration project. And the picture even has it with one headlight up and one down in the classic malfunctioning British sports car.
No, it's winking at the potential new owner.
Oh, it's going, hello.
It's like a lady in a bar and she's going, listen, come and talk to me, buy me a few drinks, let's see what happens. That's what that is. P.S. I'm a liability.
Yeah, absolute chaos everywhere I go. I do like the look of these. Now I'm just brazing them.
But this is the problem. Thing is, you've been sucked in.
They are. They're wheels on these ones as well. They're fabulous.
Best wheels. They're my favourite wheels.
I'm in a little car nerd chat group on WhatsApp with some mates, and this car, or the Elite and the Eclat.
Yeah, the Eclat.
Sister car that became the XL. They're sort of poster cars for this group, because every time one comes up for sale, someone will put a link. Should we buy this one? Should we go club in together and buy this one? To the extent that two of the blokes in the group, there's only four of us in this group, two of them
only four of you. One.
Yeah, well, there's only four people in Britain who are that keen on Elites. I don't know, but they went to look at one. They were seriously thinking they might buy it, and it turned out to be much shitter in person than it looked in the pictures.
See, you know about my Lotus wheel fetish of this era. I think they had some of the best portfolio of alloy wheels of Loy's out there. But I do have a bit of I've got a set of Eclats that, as you know, I've said in a previous cast or video, I had them restored, and all five of them. There's five actually, not even four. And I've had them now. I look back through the photos to see when I bought them. I got them in 2009, and I've had them, and I've never fitted them to a car. They're sat there, restored, waiting to go on nothing. Absolutely.
Could you
nothing.
Not hang them on the wall as some kind of like art installation?
I should do.
Quite cool.
Because they are a glorious. I should put them on. Maybe I should buy a Lotus to put them on. But then again, maybe the rest of the Lotus would be disappointing. I don't know. But an Eclat is on the radar for sure.
Yeah.
It's on the radar, mate. It's on the radar.
Well, anyway, the scramble was tremendous. Really, really nice day. Mostly just sort of seeing people as well, you know, people you haven't seen for a while in the car world. I could have been there all day, but it is only, it sort of starts at 9 and it's all done by 2, supposedly, isn't it?
So it's almost a little bit American spec in that it starts early and finishes early.
Yeah, I know. I was in the US years ago, and a mate of mine, his car person, said, there's a Cars and Coffee happening this Saturday. Do you want to come along? But it was somewhere a bit outside of Los Angeles where we were. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And he went, yeah, okay, it starts at 6. And I said, like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, at a weekend.
Like, can I come down later? And he went, oh, no, it'll be all done by it. And it was like, all done by 9. He's like, what is wrong with you people?
That's exactly what I thought. I think they should go even more extreme. So the car show starts at 4 in the morning and it's all finished by 5:30. So basically all normal people in the area will never know that it happened. Yeah. It's like,
if you want to see that immaculately restored Roadrunner, get up at 3:30, dickhead. It's just, I mean, I don't, is it, maybe it's an LA thing, particularly because the traffic, they're just like, oh, beat the traffic.
Or sunlight.
Don't want your car to overheat.
Is it the heat thing? Yes, the heat.
Might be a heat thing as well. Yes, fair point. But then in the winter, I don't know.
I reckon it's a secret gathering of guys who have classic cars and absolutely refuse to fit aftermarket radiators or electric fans.
Yes.
So they have to drive non-stop and shut the car off and coast into the car park at 4 a.m. and then go, right, great, I'm not stressed out at all, but let's go and have a strong coffee.
Stand the original motor. Okay, gotta go. And that's it, yeah.
And everyone chats and pats one another on the back for about 20 minutes. And then they go, you've got a big journey home? Yeah, I've got a two-hour journey home. Right, I'm going to leave now then. Okay,
gotta go.
Bye.
What? But it's only 5:45. Yeah, gotta go. Also, I'm a vampire. I can see the sun coming up over the mountains. I've got to get the hell out of here.
But they employ a professional photographer to take some great aspirational shots to prove that it actually
with
happened.
An infrared camera, because it's still fucking pitch dark.
It's night. It's Cars and Coffee night vision. It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, that's what I want. That's what it should be. It should be Cars and Coffee and cooling, or lack of. So all the cars have tremendous cooling issues, and that's the premise of it. So you go, hey guys, I've got my Jag 5.3 V12. I've put a radiator on it that's 12 centimeters by 12 centimeters. I've got to drive it at 50 miles an hour, all the way to get enough air through with the heaters on full bore.
It can't be within about 40 meters of a car in front, so I've just got to drive it.
I'll see you guys at 1 in the morning. Yeah, I'll be gone by 1:20.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Oh, and by the way, can the barista van have a huge watering can of water on standby? I'm gonna have to top the radiator up.
Well, just use one of the just ask for a large coffee cup.
Oh yeah,
as I was reminded in my recent trip to America, And this, of course, it's not called a large, is it? It'll be called an essential or something stupid like that. But a large American coffee is, in fact, a bucket.
Is it that large?
Oh, my God.
What, so you'd just be slashing all day?
Well, it's impractical. You can't drink that much coffee that quickly. So, of course, it goes cold. You end up like having to, you know, either ditch it or stick it in a microwave. Speaking of nocturnal runs, on my way to the Scramble,
that sounds
awful.
Wanted
to get there. I know, I realised as I said it, but as I was on my way to get to Bicester, because I wanted to be there early doors, so I set off at like 6:30 or 6:45.
Did you?
Still dark. And I did a little, so it felt like I was in a kind of crap remake of that Rendezvous film, driving through slightly aggressively through the empty streets of Bath/Bath. But unfortunately, I was in the press car that I had last week, which was a Toyota Aygo X or Aygo Cross.
Oh, yeah.
You're supposed to call it Aygo Cross.
I think you probably are.
Which is a funny little car because they've obviously gone for this faux SUV sort of look. So, which I think is quite smart of them because that's the kind of car that people are buying. They've gone, look, you know, most people are giving up on small cars for various reasons, one of them, you know, being there's no money in it, particularly when you've got to meet upcoming emissions laws. But Toyota have kind of gone, no, we're going to give it another crack. But if we make it look like a kind of crossovery thing, we can charge a bit more money for it. And so they have. But the staggering thing is, this is the top spec that I've borrowed, and it's got 18-inch wheels on it.
On an Aygo?
Yeah.
That's enormous.
And it's like it's a sub super mini sized car, so it's like the smallest car pretty much you can buy, though it's not as small as it used to be. But yeah, even the base model has got 17s on it, and the two upper spec ones have got 18s on them. It's nuts. So I parked it next to my Panda, and it looks like a monster truck next to the Panda. You know, remember the Panda 100 horsepower?
Yeah.
It's got quite big wheels on it, but it hasn't anymore because this is where the game's moved to now. It's faux SUVs with 18-inch alloys on them. And the thing is, it kind of bums the ride a little bit. It's got a slightly busy ride to the extent that in some situations on some roads, I think my Panda rides better. And the Panda is not famous for its good ride.
I was going to say it's a stiff car, isn't it, the Panda? 100
HP. Well, it's weird. It's sort of not. It's bouncy. But the way that it goes over individual little divots in the road is not that terrible. It's just got sort of, it's quite firmly damped, but it's not. I mean, the thing about that Panda is it's not as bad as I remember it, and I don't know whether it's just like over time everything's loosened up a bit. I'm not sure, but yeah, the Aygo's got a bit of a. The ride is bad in a different way to the Panda, but it is not a great ride in some circumstances.
I love the Aygo, you know, the original Aygo. I haven't driven this X one.
I think they've been quite smart that they've made it try and look a bit like a 4x4, and it's got a much posher interior.
Are we going back to Rover Streetwise territory with this stuff?
Well, we are, aren't we? Once again, that car was proved to be way ahead of its time. But, yeah, it's very Rover Streetwise-y in what it's trying to do. It's got a very good sort of Adrian Newey kind of stance to it because it's kind of a bit bum up in the air, nose down. It's just the way they've sort of styled the sills and things. I mean, I do like the way it looks. Tell you what, though, the styling kind of, like, it's got quite a claustrophobic interior, particularly in the back. I took my kids out in it.
Is the window line? Does it...
Window line, and the windows are shallow, and even the windscreen is steeply raked. So, yeah, it's quite pokey in there, and it's not got much room in the back. It's like less room in the back than my Panda or our Up, and it's a bigger car than both of them.
Up's got a good glass house for kids.
It's got a great glass house for kids,
So you turned up in the Aygo X. I turned up in the Volkswagen ID Buzz, which I've...
Yes.
Finished one, you know, like...
Are you video reviewing that for the Late Break Show?
I'm actually not, Richard. The reason for that is because I've done at least two videos on the ID Buzz in the past, albeit left-hand drive, not quite finished. I probably will do a road trip in one, but I just wanted to get one after Christmas in right-hand drive form just to see if it was... as exciting as I remember it, and do I still kind of really, really yearn for one? Because it's been so long waiting for it.
And do you?
I'm torn.
Are you out of faith? This is how you feel?
Yes.
cold.
I'm cold and I'm alone, naked.
You're lying naked on the floor?
I am. But what happened was I'd siliconed my tiled bathroom floor and I ran in when my alarm went off late. And what I did, basically
just spilt some hair gel.
I instantly understeered and clanged my head on the side of the bowl. So I'm lying naked on the floor with slight concussion, but I need to get in the shower because I'm running late. And I think the thing about the buzz is there's certain specs of it that you can't get yet, and that irritates me. You think, a car that's come to market so late, we've waited so long, you know, 20 years if you count all the combi concepts. Yeah. And I just want to order it in a certain way that they won't let me yet. That irritates me.
VW are doing this generally, aren't they? Because I went to look at the price of the ID3 the other day, and it was way more than I expected, and it's because there's only one model of ID3 at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just deleted everything else. Yeah. Oh, and they deleted, do you see last week, they've said, right, that's it, you can't order the Up GTI anymore.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure whether you could order one. I was going to check because I was wondering if, because I was thinking about this with the Aygo Cross. I was like, is this the only way that small cars are going to be now? They're sort of going to try and pretend to be
things,
SUVs.
Yeah.
And there's no more sporty small cars. There's no Panda 100 horsepower type stuff except the Up GTI. And they just last week said, sorry, other Ups you can still order, but the Up GTI is from stock only, in the UK at least. So,
And we both of us hovered over buying one of those, didn't we?
Oh my God. I just suddenly went, not that I'm in a position to do this because I'm being financially ruined by a house, but I suddenly thought, I wonder how cheap second-hand Up GTIs are now. I was thinking, if they're sub 10 grand, is there some way that sometime this year I can upgrade the Panda to one? But they're still all over 10.
Are they?
Cool. There's one Cat N one that on Auto Trader at the moment, I think, which is 9 and a bit.
Okay, talking of Cat N, who's a girl I used to know.
Lovely girl.
Over Christmas, I got frustrated again about the terrible state of Lego car models. And it's a consistent form of irritation, sort of irritation for me. I just can't be doing with people that spend nearly £200 on a 911 GT3 that looks like, I don't know, a family of people, or no, a village of people in India have set upon it with sculptor's hammers. And just, it's just like, what's going on? It just looks crap. And I know you enjoy building it, but then you put it on the shelf and go, look, it looks nothing like a GT3. It looks rubbish. And you can't drive it. And they're expensive. And
they are, yeah.
I think Lego are, frankly, guys, listen, I think Lego are taking the piss. That's what I think. I think they've got too big for their boots and they need to wind their blocky necks in. I think. And I.
Why? Using a system of small grey cogs. Yeah.
I do. I think. And nobody's paying me to say this. I only wish they were.
Well, nobody's paying you to slag off Lego.
No, nobody's paying me to say that.
Lego's hated rival, one of those weird off-brand Lego.
It never wins against Tamiya. It never wins against a Tamiya RC kit, ever.
No, but it's a very different thing, isn't it? That's the thing.
I
know what you mean.
It's not different.
I share your frustration with those Lego, big, expensive Lego cars, because they never look like the thing they're supposed to, enough to make them satisfying.
Not for the cash.
And
not for the
if you want a model of a 911 GT3 RS, there are some beautiful models of those cars out there. Go and buy one of those. But if you want to do Lego, there's so much good Lego out there.
Just build a crane, a Lego Technics crane that you can use to pick up the remote control of the TV and then swing it round and slew it onto your lap and have a bit of fun.
Yeah. Also buildings. Lego's good for buildings.
Lego's brilliant for buildings. And probably good for Lotus Eclats, actually, or Lotus Elites. But there's no market for that.
Well, it's not surprising that they're probably the one big Lego kit that looks even vaguely, but still not quite enough like the car it's supposed to be, is the old Defender.
Oh yeah, that did look reasonable. But also they make specifically shaped pieces of Lego in order to try and make it look like the car. And it's like, guys, this is too contrived. Just do what you're good at. And let Tamiya do the, like, hey, you want to build something, get the satisfaction. Okay. Build the car. Not only that, you'll learn about suspension and You'll learn about steering. And when it's finished, instead of putting it on a shelf and looking at it in a slightly disappointed way, you can drive it. And then if you crash it or you want to like modify it, you can. And so it's the gift that keeps on giving. And that's why, I mean, Tammy are not paying me to say this, but it's just a far, and for the same kind of money, it's just a far superior Ting in my, in my.
And Ting.
And Ting. And that seamlessly goes on to the fact that I think we're in danger of losing the hula skirt rear mud flap on coaches and lorries around the world.
Are we?
I think so. I only see them now in places like India. When was the last time you saw a hula skirt rear flap on a coach in Britain? Do you know what I'm talking about, or am I talking absolute bobbins? Yeah. So,
no, I know. I'm trying to think. I suppose what superseded them then? Just those sort of those ones that look like doormats that just hang.
I think the ones that look like doormats
with the hairs on them.
Yeah, and they've got
spray ones.
Yeah, and they've got the name of the company or the website of the company, or sometimes the silhouette of a naked lady, but less so now.
Less so.
And so, but the full width hula skirt, brushy flap is in grave danger of extinction, if not already. It's the sort of pangolin of the automotive accessory, perhaps. It's still just about there, but you don't see it very often. And I would like it to stay, because I always follow a coach or a lorry with that flap and just marvel at it. It's just swaying. But also how much drag do long flaps create on lorries? And also we have to throw in defenders, because the
that's a good point.
Classic defender mud flaps, I mean, they couldn't create more drag. You might as well have two king size duvets hanging out of each door.
Well, yes, but I suppose I feel like it's a drop in the ocean, though, isn't it, aero-wise? It's not like you're putting it on a Calibra. I mean, they're sort of so un-aero anyway, you might as well staple a duvet to the back and have it flapping behind like a cape for all that it'll do to alter the
defender
properties of those things. But, I just want to go back to the ID Buzz, though. Just so are you, notwithstanding that you couldn't order the exact spec that you wanted, which is irritating. I think VW are getting really rinsed by chip shortages.
They are.
But did it, in right-hand drive, on UK roads,
drives really
did
well.
Did you enjoy it?
It drives.
It does.
It drives really well. It's a lovely car to drive. It's actually pretty efficient, given that it is quite a large block of car, you know, for an EV. And I've been driving it in cold weather.
You want to get massive mud flaps on, see?
Yeah,
what
I should actually, shouldn't I? Yeah, or one of those huge expedition roof racks with a sort of placard board on the front that just
really?
Says,
"Really, what's your whistliest roof rack?" Oh, I'll have one of those then. Thanks very much.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna. Oh yeah, proper sort of like Vickers broken teeth roof tray. No, I do really like it, and my kids really like it, and I think I would buy one, but I think the wise people of the world are going to just order the cargo van, and then there's an enormous amount of these cottage industries already in Britain who do the fantastic T5, T6 camper conversions or kind of business spec conversions inside, and I think that's where the smart money will go. And I believe you can get a cargo much quicker than the other buses anyway, than the Buzz. So,
really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and of course they are cheaper. They start at 45, whereas the people carrier one that I had starts at 58, something like that. So it is more.
Wow.
So I do like it, but the two cars in my head that as a sort of family electric car that I'm really excited about and I would like is I still want an Ioniq 5 Hyundai, and the Buzz. So I keep going, which one would I have? One's slightly cheaper, but they're both kind of family friendly and good. I think I still want an Ioniq 5. I do think I still want an Ioniq 5 because it's still consistently brilliant and cool to look at and long range. It's got something about it. It's got something about it, mate. Yeah.
So bad.
It's got something about it. Yeah. Oh, you know, the Bicester Scramble, I forgot to say. I believe our friend Harry Metcalf was there in his freshly finished project car.
Whisper in the crowd was that Harry was there with his Lancia, but I didn't get to see him.
I didn't see him either.
I saw Jethro Bovington in his pink Porsche.
Oh, did you?
But yeah, he was driving off, and annoyingly, he was looking the wrong way, so he couldn't see me flicking the V's at him. But
that's a shame.
He was there, and yeah, there were.
Did
loads
you throw of, a can just, of Fanta at him that was just been opened?
It just glanced off the rear engine cover, and it vaporised as it got near the engine cover because he's had that 991 engine shoehorned into his 996. So it's probably
a weapon.
Probably pretty toasty back there.
I was slightly disappointed to hear that Harry hadn't turned up in a quick, hurriedly made balsa wood hovercraft powered by a 280,000 mile Citroen SM Maserati V6 running on very cheap supermarket oil. But
next time.
Harry, next time, sort it out. Come on.
Yeah, the Bista, oh shit. Well, the Bista, they're going to put Bista the Scramble up? Into Scramble. They really want people to scramble for their lives as Harry comes hooning across the airfields in an extremely badly made quad bike.
360-ing. He's just in a constant 360 with a throttle set wide open.
A Sierra Cosworth motor in a poorly maintained 90s quad bike.
I was thinking more of a dangerously understeery rickshaw with a sticky throttle. very
with an Alpha twin spark engine in it. Exactly. He's never quite got running right. It's very toppy.
And it's got very wide sand racing rear tyres, and the front tyre is just an old motorcycle front wheel, so there's just no hope of steering that.
And it's losing air for reasons he can't quite figure out. He thinks there might be some rim damage or something, but he's no time to investigate. Off to the scramble. Well, there's another one in April, isn't there, which is probably already sold out, because I know the tickets went on sale last week after the one we went to. So yeah. I don't know. I need to check that, because I'd quite like to go again. I had such a nice time. Mm. I would love to go to the one in April. And the weather will be better, hopefully, as well, because it was a little chilly.
And I'm going to turn up in a Tatra that looks like it's been painted in mustard, in Funfair mustard. And
imagine.
Yeah.
You'd be the belle of the ball in that, I think.
Well, I've been called a belle before, but for different reasons.
I'm not spelling belle the way you think I am. Anyway, look, we should wrap this up.
Yeah.
But before we go, I have three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Locate Tape Show, in which Johnny rummages in someone's garage looking for 3D90s containing the first four albums by The Police. One of them has got half of No Jacket Required on side two, for some reason. And if that's not to your taste, then there's always The Late Break Show, which has lots of excellent videos about cars and people who love them. What's on the menu at the moment? I'm trying to think.
Dry ice chassis cleaning. I investigate that, which is a newfangled thing which people are doing.
Which Johnny uses a 80s music video to clean his chassis.
Yes, exactly. It's Top of the Pops too, but underneath an
Bonnie
old car.
Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart video is used to get some shit off a chassis.
That's exactly. And
fabulous.
And if you haven't seen that already, there's a nice car cave of a man in Ireland who is obsessed with Novas and other Opels.
Yeah.
So he's a nice chap. And there's some cool stuff coming involving Subarus, and I can't tell you too much, but yeah, I drove a classic Impreza the other day, a really leery one. And gosh, it was fun to be back in the seat, as the drivers say.
To get some seat time.
I got some serious seat time. Yeah. I seem to have a habit of only filming high-performance cars in biblical rain and wind. So there you go.
My arse hasn't unclenched from watching you in that bloody Chevette in the pouring rain.
Oh, my back door was like a whale's blowhole for most of it.
Unrelaxing. Okay, second thing I've got to tell you is that we have new merch, t-shirts, mugs, stickers. We've got a new Spolt design, a new...
On
that side of things design, both sort of quite 80s flavoured.
And a Steam Rally Wrongen.
A Steam Rally Wrongen's picture of a static engine with a She'll Do This or It'll Do This All Day. And that's on mugs at the moment. The t-shirts of those are coming soon. They're just a bit more complicated to print for boring reasons, but they are on their way. You can get stickers of all of the new designs, plus just ones that say Smith and Sniff, if that's your thing.
Yeah, classic collection.
We'll stick up the links all across.
I'm tapping a new mug as we speak. I'm drinking black stuff out of it. Not oil, nice. Coffee, obviously.
Under seal. Follow links that we will plaster all over social media to our new merchandise. And the third thing I've got to tell you is that the last episode of Columbo was transmitted in 2003.
Was it?
Yeah.
20
Later
years
than
ago.
You expect. Yeah, but I thought Columbo would have wrapped up in the early 80s, but no.
2003.
It kept ongoing.
The same guy,
they
Peter
Falk. They
went
to Falk. A sort of... Yeah, they went to the kind of model the Grand Tour is following, where no series, but just sort of one-off specials every so often. And the last one of those was 2003.
When Peter Falk was, what, 104?
Exactly, yeah.
Gosh.
All right, well, thank you ever so much for listening, and we will do this all again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.